the latest and greatest podcast in the Arizona sports landscape. It's the Dry Heat Check. My name is Jared Cohen. That's Greg Esposito. It's Jay Cohen Espo. This is episode one, the Devin Booker episode. And not just because we're going to talk about Devin Booker, which we might, Greg, but it's episode one because Devin Booker wears the number one.
Well, and as two lifelong Arizona sports fans, it only seems appropriate that we name each of these episodes after a guy who wore that number. So, number one, we could have gone Amari Stoudemire.
Could have gone a lot of different ways.
I can't remember anybody else that wore number one, but those two guys we could have gone with, but we went with Devin Booker due to recency bias.
Wasn't Utah Tabusi, didn't he wear number one?
I think you are correct, and Goran obviously did.
Yes.
I was trying to remember if any Cardinal wore number one, but I didn't do any research for the show.
Well, we just settled on Devin Booker, so that's...
Recency bias would have been a good name for this show too.
That would have been. Let's do a little intro about ourselves before we get things started and what we plan to accomplish with this podcast. Greg Esposito, he wrote for Fanster, ArizonaSports.com. He was involved with the Phoenix Suns most recently, doing incredible stuff on their social media and digital platforms. And now you're contributing with us on Sports 360 AZ, write a weekly, sometimes more than weekly column called No Character Limits. And now we're doing this podcast. So Greg, that is your introduction, and it's really nice to have you.
I'm not sure if that's the right career trajectory. That's a tough phrasing to say. I'm not sure if that's the right career trajectory that you want, but that's where I am. So I'm happy to be here.
And you look happy. You look great. I think it's turning out all right.
I am very excited to be here as part of the Sports 360 AZ family in this weekly show. I couldn't think of a few better guys to co-host it with, but you're who I got. So
yeah, I'm
excited.
Which is
fine. We both know Arizona sports very well, and there is a gaping hole in the podcast landscape for good Arizona sports talk, and I think we can fill that marginally at best.
Absolutely. And Greg and both we both born and raised in Phoenix, right? You were born here,
I was born in Boston, but I only lived there for 6 months and been here since. So
you've practically born here. I was born here.
I washed the stink of being a mass. You can fill in the blank. I don't know if we're censored here or not, but I'm not a hole from mass.
Gotcha.
So, you know.
Okay, I gotcha. I see where you're going.
I was going there. Yeah.
You were going there. I'm Jared Cohen. I work for Sports 360 AZ. And as Greg mentioned, I've born and raised here, lifelong fan of the Arizona sports landscape. It's fun to cover it nowadays, and it's even more fun to talk about it. And that's what we intend to do.
Well, do we need to explain the name too? Because I don't know.
Okay, just clarify it for everyone.
Dry heat, obviously.
Obviously, we're in Arizona.
Check. Dry heat check. There you go. You're good.
I had to pull up the Urban Dictionary for what heat check is for my wife. She's like, I've never heard that before. And heat check, you know, like gut check, you know, that was big. That was clutch, you know, that was a heat check. So I guess if we have to explain our title to everyone.
We're only doing it this once. So you listen to episode one and then you know, but we're not explaining it again. I'm sorry to hijack.
You're good. Oh, and we're not going to explain it again. So we're going to go a lot of different directions, mostly around the Suns, who just had their draft last week. We're going to go a bunch of different directions involving players they drafted, maybe players they didn't draft this year or in the past. We're also, you know, you had a little interaction with Earl Watson on Twitter. We're going to get into that with something fun that he did. And then we're going to introduce a couple segments. They're going to be weekly staples on the show. It's going to be trade, fire, or extend. And I think this time we're going to have it more Diamondbacks related in that realm. It's going to be trade, fire, or extend. And then, no, excuse me, trade, extend.
And or cut.
Gosh.
You got to get this right. Episode number one, we already have.
The wheels
have come off already.
Trade, fire, extend. That's right.
Trade, cut, or extend.
Trade, cut,
as
or
in,
extend.
Are you going to trade this play?
I'm just going to rewrite that on my sheet.
You're going to get three options. There'll be three Diamondbacks this week. You can trade, extend, or cut. And you can only do one for each of them. So
sounds good. And I promise by the time we get to that point in the podcast that I will be able to figure out who that is.
And it's based off of a much more crass game, but we've cleaned it up for sports.
We have. And then finally, the last thing that we'll do is a segment that I'm going to be really excited to research and do each and every week. This is the Dry Heat Takes podcast, or dry heat checks podcast. Just man, fire me. I'm out.
Do I have to do everything here? It's the dry heat check show. The last segment's going to be the wet cold takes. We're going to go back in the archive and find Twitter takes from people in Arizona sports that are just so off base.
It so makes you wrong. Cringe.
And you're going to enjoy who this. We're not going to tell you who it is, but this week,
just let's
kick
just
it
say
off,
it hits close to home.
It's really good.
And so make sure you tune in for the entire podcast.
Do you need me to host
really
this whole
good.
Thing?
No, because I'm going to get us rolling here. Topic number one: reaction to the Suns draft. They draft Dragan Bender 4th overall. There was all this talk the day of that they were split in the front office. Some like Dragan Bender, some like Marquise Chris, and apparently Ryan McDonough woke up draft morning and said, let's try to get both. Only Ryan McDonough would try to think of something like that. They trade up into the 8th pick in the draft with the Sacramento Kings. They draft Marquise Chris. So now you've got two of maybe the best power forwards, young up-and-coming power forwards. If you consider Ben Simmons a power forward, then maybe they're not the best. But the two guys that people were slating the Suns to, they ended up with both of them.
Yeah, if Zach Morris had thought about this, the great Kelly Kapowski, Jesse Spano debate of the 90s wouldn't have been a debate. He would have just had both of them.
Yes.
And that's the way you should have went into it.
Yes.
I'm very disappointed in Zach Morris, but very excited about one Ryan McDonough. He went in and he got the guys he wanted. And not a lot of guys would have the cojones to make that kind of move, because he basically just said, my entire job, the future of my career in Phoenix, rides on Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris. And if I don't hit likely on both of these guys, I'm probably going to be shown the door, because the Suns have now committed to a complete youth movement. I've talked about it in my column on the site. That was the route they had to go. They had to accept that over the years, we've seen retooling way too often in Phoenix. We've been Draymond Greened by that, getting kicked in the nether regions every time we've gone that
poor
route.
Draymond.
Because honestly, the Suns have done the same thing over and over again and never gotten different results. Go down a different path. Build around Devin Booker's time frame. These two guys will be in their prime at the same time as Devin Booker. You hope you sneak in there when the likes of the Spurs, OKC, and the Warriors have started to drop off from their success, and you're in there to be one of the next great teams in the Western Conference. I love the move, but it is 100% gutsy, because you don't know that it's going to pan out, and you rolled the dice big time. But that's why you collect assets in the form of draft picks like the Suns did, so they could move up and make a major splash.
I have two thoughts on this. The first one is great trading back into the top 10, because quite frankly, who was there 13 and beyond just was really underwhelming. And if you're going to have two players on your roster, you know, it was well documented that he wasn't going to be keeping all three first-round picks. And why would he? You don't have enough spots on your roster to do it. So if you're going to keep two of those, why not be the best players that you can get? So the fact that they traded back into the top 10 to 8th overall to get the best player that they could tells me that they're treating this as a, we need to break glass, we need to make things happen now. We need to get the best talent, we need to maximize the talent, and we can't settle for who's maybe there in the long run. I was very intrigued with Bogdan Bogdanović and the prospects of what he could be as a pro player, but knowing that he wasn't going to be here for yet another season, another year where he could get hurt, or he could decline, or his production could go on a different route, I fully endorse the fact of trading him if he wasn't going to be on your roster this year. And trading the 13th pick for a Greek player to go with DeMarcus Cousins, I'm fine with that. And then you lose the 28th pick, who ends up being Scal Labissiere, who I thought was a great pick at the back end of the first round for the Kings. But those are two players that might not make your roster as it stands right now. The other thing I wanted to say on this realm, and I'll keep it shorter and not too long-winded, is 6 years ago, the last time the Suns make the playoffs. Since then, you knew Nash was on his way out. They did not commit to a rebuild. They didn't do it. They let the team start to get bad and mediocre. They were saying, and all these people were saying, you got to get bad before you get good. They got to do it the OKC route. And every time someone would say that, I'd be like, be careful what you wish for. Because while there's the Oklahoma City Thunders of the world, there's also the Philadelphia 76ers of the world, the Milwaukee Bucks of the world, the teams that did get really bad and haven't been able to get out of it. They really haven't. Now both of those teams that I bring have immense talent, and maybe they're going to get through it, but it's taken them years, and it's taken them 6 years to finally embrace the get young, break it down concept, which maybe they needed to do. But now those people, you know, some of the more the people that don't have patience, who have seen this team struggle for so long, are saying, well, this isn't going to get you better sooner. Well, you wanted them to break it down. This is how long it's going to take, and it takes a while to do it. And to keep putting a Band-Aid over bad teams with decent players to try to get better and paying them too much is what they were doing with Lance Blanks and initially with Ryan McDonough. They are doing it right now, and hopefully this could now, you know, as to your point, thrust this into the future of a successful Suns team.
The last 6 years are a wash. You can't re-engineer what happened. If you could go back in a time machine and smack Lance Blanks around and go, look, you have to build it this way, okay, maybe you save those 6 years and you're in a better spot right now. But you can't do that. You have to accept what happened, count it as a wash, and look at this as a fresh start. I probably shouldn't do this because we're in the man's house, but Brad Sassman on the site really questioned this, whether you can build around two 18-year-olds or three teenagers, and really didn't feel like you could and felt like they should have gone after veterans. I'm sorry, you have to build it this way, because who are you going to get? Gordon Hayward, was that the big guy you were going to get?
He wouldn't have made you better overnight.
A borderline all-star that wasn't going to make you any better than 9th, 10th in the Western Conference. And isn't the kind of name that's going to attract free agents here. You have to build young talent into superstars. That's the only way. That's how far they drove this into a ditch, is that Phoenix is not the place where superstars want to come now, so you have to homegrow them. This isn't like the past where you could convince free agents to come to Phoenix and change things. Yes, did they get close with LaMarcus Aldridge? Yes. Did they get close with LeBron James? Sure. But finishing second doesn't mean anything. We've finished second a lot in Phoenix.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Yeah, exactly. A little Ricky Bobby for you. The Suns have finished second twice in 76 and 93 in terms of the finals. You know how many rings and championship banners you get for that? Zero. Nobody cares when you finish second. So you've got to home grow that talent and hope that Devin Booker, Dragan Bender, or Marquese Chris, one of those guys is a superstar, or if you're damn lucky, all three are. This is the way you've got to do it. It's the right move. And you know what? I was prepared to be pretty pissed off last Thursday. I'm not going to lie. I talked to a bunch of my former coworkers. I said, don't screw this up, guys, because I don't want to have to hate the place I both worked and have loved since I was a kid. They were far from it. They actually re-energized me in terms of being a Suns fan.
There's one thing, and this will segue into our second topic, and I'll keep this short, but there's one thing that worries me a lot. Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn was easily the third best player in this year's draft, in my opinion. And he is a guy that's 22, 21 years old, who reminds me of Dwayne Wade in a point guard body. And so we can see that's neither here nor there.
Let me say one thing. If they had taken Chris Dunn, I was done with this team. It's a position that you're already stacked at.
Yeah,
a guy that didn't want to be here and a guy that was injured.
Okay,
that wouldn't show
you his
medical
record. Let me ask you something. Say Ben Simmons, the Suns have the number one pick in the draft, and the Suns are set at small forward and power forward. Just say hypothetical. Do you not draft the best player in the draft?
You take Ben Simmons because he was the one guy in this draft that basically had the smallest chance of being a bust and the smallest chance of not developing into a star in this league. Chris Dunn's gap is almost as wide as Dragan Bender's. With that injury history and not letting you see medical records, you're damn right I don't take Chris Dunn. So we can transition, but that was, if they had done that, I was off the bandwagon.
Okay, well, I would have been very I would have been very fond with drafting that young man and figuring out the guard situation later, but I did like what the Suns ended up doing. But here's our topic. I want us to put together a starting five, the all what if Suns team.
Oh, this is a juicy topic. Everybody loves what ifs.
So it, like, say, you know, if in 10 years we look back, what if they drafted Chris Dunn instead of Dragan Bender? Well, let's do with the guys that already the what ifs. Starting with the guard position, I'll go first, and I'm sure this guy might be on your list too. Steph Curry. There was a trade proposal in place: Amari Stoudemire to the Warriors for Andres Biedrins and the rights to the draft pick that ultimately was Steph Curry. And in the final moments, Don Nelson decided to pull the plug. Everything, fast forwarding to today, Steph Curry is one of the superstars in the game.
He is on my list. He would be the point guard on my what if team. The other what if with that, though, is what if he never becomes Steph Curry because he's playing behind Steve Nash and he just never develops into that guy? That's a big what if for me. My other guard position, I don't think you're going to have this guy because most people don't realize it, but George Gervin was actually selected by the Suns in the NBA draft in the third round. He chose, and this actually could be where your Spurs rivalry starts, he decided to go to the ABA and the San Antonio Spurs. He becomes a legend in that league, and when they join the NBA as well, he could have been quite a nice Phoenix Suns in that 70s time frame.
Yeah, the finger roll and everything. That's a good one right there.
Could have been in Phoenix.
My off guard is Joe Johnson. So imagine if the Suns are able to get it figured out from a contract standpoint and don't do the sign and trade for Boris Diaw, and you roll with the team for the next several years that includes Steve Nash, Joe Johnson, Amari Stoudemire, and Sean Marion.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that.
That's a tough one.
Imagine the other what if is, what if Joe Johnson doesn't break his face in that playoff run?
You want to add another layer to the Spurs rivalry.
It's so jinxed when you think about it and when you bring up these what ifs. But man, he doesn't fall on his face. Even that is a different, a different series, a different playoff run. My first forward spot, Luol Deng. Suns selected him, dealt him, basically for the right to sign Quentin Richardson. And I really probably would have rather have had Luol Deng for the long run.
First forward I want to mention is Scottie Pippen.
I didn't realize it. You brought this up. I did not realize.
Well, that's what this is for. We're supposed to stump each other. Back in 1995, before the trade deadline, Scottie Pippen wanted to be traded, and there was all sorts of rumors that Jerry Colangelo wanted to make a push at Scottie Pippen. And he was even, during the All-Star game that was here in Phoenix, I remember he made a comment saying, "Don't I look good in purple?" because the All-Star uniforms were purple. And he also, I have this quote, I lost the quote. He basically said that he was open for a trade and went on to say that he was having an MVP season. He told Craig Sager he'd be willing to play worse so that the Bulls weren't asking so much for him. Can you imagine if Scottie Pippen came here while Charles Barkley still happened to be here? And a month later or so, have it from this YouTube video I saw of him talking to Sager, Michael Jordan came back. The rest is history. They won 3 more titles.
Yeah, it would have been crazy. And you can only imagine what that run could have looked like, another gut punch in Phoenix. My other forward spot, Mark Eaton.
Okay.
He was another guy that the Suns drafted, and then he decided not to come to the NBA right away. And I think they drafted him out of a junior college. He decided, no, I'm going to go to, I think he went to Grand Canyon after that. Then the Jazz wind up taking him. He has a long, successful career in the NBA. Another unique what if for me.
I'll keep this one short and sweet because there's not much that needs to be said. I'm all for what if drafting Kawhi Leonard over Markieff Morris.
Yeah, let's move on. That's another Lance Blank's error.
Yes, to say the least. And then my center, Lew Alcindor, a.k.a. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the first pick in the 1969 draft, in which the Suns lost the coin flip to the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm guessing that was your center?
That was my center as well. Hey, we want to hear from you. Why don't you send us your Suns what-if team? You can tweet us at DryHeatCheck. We got that.
We
have the Twitter handle. Tweet us there. We want to hear what your all-time starting five Suns what-if team is. It's all right if you agree with me because Jayco's was a little weak.
I don't know about mine.
That.
Mine, I think, hits closer to home to a lot of people. That George Gervin one, that was a good one.
The Iceman could have been in Phoenix.
So, speaking of the Suns, you got into a Twitter debate with the head coach, Earl Watson. Like, what are you thinking?
Saturday was spectacular. It was kind of like the old school thing, you know, Will Ferrell's character. Yeah, we're going to Bed Bath & Beyond and Home Depot.
A nice little Saturday. Yeah.
Well, I was out shopping with my wife and happened to tweet out my my column about the Suns. And in it, I said the Suns draft was like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Porky's, and Back to the Future all combined. So I'm like, all right, I'll send that out into the ether. Well, hopefully some people will read the column. It'll be great. Well, Earl Watson actually tweets me back, classics, exclamation point. So I go, you know what, let's just roll with this. I go, well, what are your favorite 80s movies? It turns into an hour and a half long debate with Earl Watson, myself, and a bunch of Suns fans on Twitter. It was spectacular. Earl continues to do things that wins my respect. I'll be honest. When I heard that he was going to be the choice, I thought, interesting, but I'm not 100% sure. What he's done and what he's done in the community has made me sure, and this really solidified it. He was an average guy talking about 80s movies with fans. You don't see that from an NBA head coach a lot. He gets it. You got to have the fans really understand you and show that you're not only a good coach, but you're a person as well. This was one of my favorite moments on Twitter.
No question. And I think anyone who's paid attention to the Suns since Earl Watson was named the interim coach is that he gets an A+ for his dealing with the teams, his dealing with the media, his involvement in the community, his involvement with the players. The only thing that remains to be seen is his success with X's and O's and game situations and his coaching and the basketball stuff. And that's a big piece to be unknown, but all the other stuff he has passed with flying colors. So it's a lot remains to be seen, and I think a lot of people are rooting for him to do well. But he has been incredible. And with that said, what were some of the movies? Did you agree with him on some of his 80s movies choices? Did you disagree?
We never got a definitive list from him. He was kind of like, kind of agreeing with people, throwing out a few of his own. So I never got a definitive list. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to come up with my definitive list of 80s movies. And then when we put this podcast out, I'm going to tweet at Earl Watson and go, okay, what is your definitive top five 80s movies?
Okay.
I need a full answer. Now, I'm not going to give you 1 through 5. This is in any order, but these are the 5 that I feel are the greatest 80s movies of all time. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes,
one of John Hughes' masterpieces. If they ever remake this, I'm never going to see a movie again. Ghostbusters, speaking of a movie that they shouldn't remake, but they are this summer. The original Ghostbusters, one of the greatest 80s movies of all time. Back to the Future, you can't deny it. One of the all-time greats, not just 80s movies, but all-time greats. The greatest Christmas movie of all time is on this list, Die Hard. And if you don't think Die Hard is a Christmas movie...
I thought you were going somewhere else with this, but yes.
If you don't think Die Hard is a Christmas movie...
It is a Christmas movie.
You have a really messed up family, and you should be watching it every Christmas, because it is a true Christmas classic. And to round up my top five, Beverly Hills Cop. It was, it was Eddie Murphy at peak Eddie Murphy. I love that one. So those are my 5. We'll throw it back out to Earl Watson.
Throw it back out. I don't have
see what he says. Did you have any 80s favorites? I know you were like a year and a half old when the 80s came to a close.
I was 4 when the 80s came to an old. The ones that you left off the list that I found were classics was Top Gun, The Breakfast Club, The Karate Kid, Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, Big, Vacation. Ooh, that's what I thought you were going to say for Christmas movies. I thought you were going Vacation.
Big is one that is right on the cusp of my top 5. Big is fantastic.
Caddyshack, Spaceballs.
Caddyshack 2 ruined Caddyshack for me. So
Caddyshack 1 is one of the best comedies ever. And then the Rocky movies, I think 3 and 4 were in the 80s.
Yeah, you know, I actually recently rewatched all those Rocky movies, and 1 is still the gold standard.
Absolutely.
But 3 and 4 probably could be in a top 10 or 15 list of 80s movies, but not all-time classics.
And then Lethal Weapon. I don't know if I'd consider that like top 5 worthy, but that's also a classic from the 80s.
Definitely an all-time classic 80s cable rewatch movie.
No,
that's one.
About
even
it.
If you're watching the censored version where you get the really bad versions of curse words, Lethal Weapon is fantastic to watch.
Trade, cut, extend. Espo.
Hey, you got it right.
I got it right because I wrote it down after screwing it up early. Trade, cut, extend. We're doing it Diamondbacks
extend.
Edition.
See, you got it wrong again.
Trade, cut, extend.
Yeah, you didn't say extend. You butchered the word.
I said, what did I say? I said extend?
Extend, yeah.
Extend?
Yeah.
I say extend.
I might have to commandeer the ship at some point.
Trade, cut, extend. I'm going to start with trade, Diamondbacks version. I think the player you get the most value for that you got to get rid of is Brad Ziegler. Not because you got to get rid of him because he's a bad player, but I think you're getting the absolute maximum out of someone right now for a guy that's closing that is not a hard-throwing flamethrower closer. With crazy, nasty stuff, you're getting incredible value from Brad Ziegler. I don't think it'll be any higher. If you're going to trade someone, I think that's the guy.
I would go with it. We're playing this game a little different. We're going to change it up this week and next week, but I'll go with your version of this. I would, okay. I would, and you're going to think I'm nuts. I would trade Paul Goldschmidt. Because there's not a guy on the right. If you're not going to win right now, you're in. His window is slowly closing.
I wish there's a picture of my face on this podcast. Maybe that could be the featured image is my face to you saying that right now.
If your window is slowly closing, his superstar window is slowly closing. His window, at the pace that they're going, they're not going to win in his time frame. So I would trade Paul Goldschmidt and get whatever you can for him immediately and cash out. I always thought the Cardinals should have done it with Larry Fitzgerald, too, because they wasted his entire prime on the Max Halls of the world. If you're not going to win, let him win somewhere and build for the future, because right now you're not winning. And it's getting depressing. I don't want to watch him be the next Shane Doan, where he's got to just suffer through being on bad teams and never getting a chance to really win.
Well validated, still respectfully and strongly disagree.
I'm sure most of the internet will, too. Let's move to cut.
Cut.
Shelby Miller. Just cut him. If this is truly a mental issue and I'm pretty sure it is at this point, just cut Shelby Miller.
Yep.
Just cut him.
I wouldn't disagree with you there. The cut I have is Ricky Weeks. You keep you have this guy who's playing at a veteran's minimum, a minor league contract. You keep throwing him in the lineup, yet you're sending down Brandon Drury. You're not playing Yasmani Tomas every day. You're not winning a World Series this year. So why are you giving playing time and at-bats to a guy that is well past his prime? You know, if you want to keep him as someone to bring off the bench, fine. But the fact that he's getting starts on road trips and things like that, and you're sending down guys like Brandon Drury, who might have needed to be sent down, but part of that was because he wasn't getting every day at bats, part of which is because they were starting Ricky Weeks in left field. So cut Ricky Weeks, play the young guys, get those young guys better.
All right, what's your extend?
Extend the guy who's in charge of Chase Fields' food.
I like it.
Chase Fields' food is remarkable. I went there with my girls, my wife, and my two daughters just recently, a couple weeks ago. And the food that they have there is phenomenal. They brought one of my favorite restaurants, Paradise Valley Burger, into the ballpark. Those burgers are phenomenal. There are different renditions of hot dogs and desserts. And it's really a great place to watch a baseball game or a sporting event. And their food is phenomenal. So whoever's in charge of that stuff, you got to extend that guy.
A Paradise Valley Burgers, we are looking for sponsors. So
yes, shameless plug.
If you want Jared to do a live read, we're here for you. My extend, extend your deal, your lease at the ballpark. Let's cut this BS with the county. Let's get this settled. Build that, renovate the building, make it to what you need. But let's not act like we can legitimately try to find a way to finance another building in the valley. We're doing it too much already. Let's just make sure you have a solid home for the next two decades. Let's make it right, but let's make it Chase Field and figure out a way to make that work. I don't want to hear politics dipping into
along?
My sport. I'm sick of politics dipping into my sport.
No question about it. I couldn't agree more. In fact, I might alter my extend a little bit.
Oh, I think your food extend is a good call. So
that kind of goes hand in hand.
They
right?
do. Extend the ballpark and the guy in the ballpark making the food.
Perfect. Let's get on to one of my favorite segments that's going to happen on the show each and every week, the wet cold takes.
Yes.
The opposite of our dry heat check, that yep. is our podcast, yep. the wet cold takes. And the premise of this, Espo, you're very smart and funny when it comes to this. Let's go back in history on Twitter and find stuff that guys in the media say that were just so awfully wrong. that you just look back on it and be like, what the heck was this guy thinking? Or
like Brad's article we talked about earlier, 3 years from now, that will be appearing in Cold Wet Takes.
Cold Wet Takes. This actually might not have been wrong, per se.
It was wrong.
It was wrong, but just the knowing that, not knowing what the future had in store for us.
It was colossally wrong when you look at it back.
This media member that we want to put on blast for the Cold Wet Takes is none other than Greg Esposito, who's sitting here to my right. Espo, back on 5/26/11 at 10:38 a.m., tweeted the following. Starting to wonder if the Kevin Cobb to Arizona rumors are like the Trump for president rumors. Lots of talk, but nothing will materialize.
Wow, could I have been any more off base in 140 characters? Like, this is, it's scary how wrong I was. This was in the middle of the NFL work stoppage where the Kevin Cobb rumors were going like crazy, and we had heard them for a while, and we had heard the Donald Trump rumors for a while. I was wrong on both cases. We saw what a colossal disaster Kevin Cobb was. And you can make your own judgments on the man running for president. But I don't think you could have had a colder, wetter take to start this off than my own take from back then. And we did it this way because I didn't want to hear from anybody who we pick on in this segment that, oh, well, why are you picking on me? Everybody has bad takes. You're not going to get worse than my take. And we started it off there. So all of you can not complain when we initially and inevitably bash you for a cold wet take.
Just to run this back, an encore for this week's cold wet take. Espo's tweet back on May 26th of 2011, starting to wonder if the Kevin Cobb to Arizona rumors are like the Trump for president rumors. Lots of talk, but nothing will materialize. That is a true story, and that is a phenomenal first ever cold wet take.
See, if I had changed that last line to something like, would both be flaming disasters? Like,
lots of talk, like, and both would be flaming disasters.
Yeah. See, then I would have been spot on.
I would have paid you to be a palm reader and tell me where I'll be in 5 years.
Unfortunately, I was much like Mark Reynolds in his time in Phoenix, and it was a swing and a rather large miss.
That is Greg Esposito. I'm Jared Cohen, the first of many on Sports 360 AZ. It is the dry heat take with Jayco and Espo.
Check. You said take again.
Dry. That's why you're confusing me, because you wrote check. Cold wet cold takes and the dry heat check.
Yeah.
I
see.
Maybe by episode two I'll get it down and I'll memorize it. But it is the dry heat check on Sports 360 AZ with Jared Cohen and Greg Esposito. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah. Don't forget, you can tweet the show at dry heat check. That dry heat check.
And we want to know about your All What If Suns team. So make that your homework until next week, and we'll read some of your tweets on the podcast.
And feel free to send us cold wet takes you find. And if you have an 80s movie you love, tweet us there. We want to make it as interactive as humanly possible, and maybe we'll even retweet that awful take.
And you can retweet Espo by following him at Espo, ESPO. My Twitter handle is at Jared_Sports360. Until next time, it's been the Dry Heat Check. Thank you. With Jayco and Espo, have yourself a great week.